to preach another message around Christmas. I like to take and seize this time of the year to talk to you about things that we believe and things that have happened. And last week we talked about, you know, we believe some pretty unbelievable stuff. If you're a true believer, you believe some crazy things. And, you know, the God leaving the glory of heaven, coming down here, becoming fully man, fully God, the virgin birth, all of those things. And last week we talked about Emmanuel, God with us, that it was necessary for Jesus to come and be a man because God can't die. And in order for Jesus to die, he had to be a man. And he lived that sinless life. And he paid for our sins. And he died on the cross. And his blood was put on the mercy seat. And as we put trust in him, we receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life and can be resurrected just like our Lord was and have the same kind of body that he has. So this week, I'd like to talk about some other things about the Christmas story, and I'd like to just start here out of Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Man, would to the Lord that we all had that testimony right there. Just, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the return now, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him, Jesus, up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people and people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So we have this little part of the Christmas story where this old man, Simeon, has this promise from God that he's going to see the Lord's Christ. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, the Messiah to come. The Lord told him that he was going to see the Messiah and that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And one particular day, he is led specifically by the Spirit at a certain day and at a certain time to go to the temple. And it just so happened to be 40 days after Christ's birth when the Mosaic law says that the firstborn is to be presented before the Lord, and the parents are to bring a presentation sacrifice of either two turtle doves or pigeons if you're poor. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought. They were not people of means. Jesus was raised in a not luxury, and his parents had to bring the sacrifice that was there for people that didn't have a lot of money. And so he was there this specific day, this specific hour, this specific minute when they came out, and Simeon is there, and he sees this infant, and he walks over, and he takes the baby from mom and dad, and he lifts up the baby, and in one version says, "Lord, I've seen the Messiah." And he says it this way, "You can dismiss me in peace now." You're dismissed. He says, you know, he says it that way. My life's over. I can go to heaven. You can dismiss me now because you have fulfilled the promises that you have given to me. And so this man, unlike most Jews, I mean, most Jews are waiting, still waiting, many think, for the consolation, the comfort of the Messiah, but he has come. But Jews look for that. And this man, unlike most, he had a promise from God that he would see the Messiah with his own eyes. And he was there on that day. And he saw probably many children coming out at that time that had been presented to the Lord. But this infant he saw, and he was the first one to make public declaration about the Messiah from a human point of view, and that he would be a light to all peoples, not just the Jews, but salvation for all, including the Gentiles. And so Simeon, this old man, makes this declaration, this prophetic word, this announcement, and this is what I want to launch off of today. He said, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Jesus' destiny will result in the fall or the rise of all people. Everyone's heart, the thoughts of their heart, will be revealed through Christ. The word there, the fall and the rise, the word there, fall, the Greek word ptosis, means to crash, means to utterly ruin. The rise or the fall, it will either bring someone to rise up or to utterly fall. Matthew 7, when Jesus said, a foolish man builds his house on the sand. And it says, and when it fell, great was that fall. That's the same word. It was an utter loss. And the rise, the Greek word anastasis, means to rise, which is what it's translated there the only time. But 30 other 9 times in the New Testament, it's translated resurrection. The rise or fall of many. This particular time, the Greek connotation is that of rising from a seated position, from being down like this, and you will rise. You will actually exert and rise up. Christ will cause people to either rise or fall, depending on their response to him. The word there also gives the mental image of a rock that some people trip over and some people climb up and get higher as they find a place on the rock to move forward. So Simeon's word, this prophetic word, this declaration, this announcement from him says that the birth of Christ has huge implications, not just for those that saw Christ then, but for the whole world. Jesus is more than just a gift from God that can be appreciated. It's more than a nice gesture from God. Christ is unlike any other child brought into this world. Jesus is the fork in the road of life for everybody. You will reach a time, and we all reach a time in our lives, where we come to a decision point about what will we do with this Christ. A decision must be made. It requires a response. It requires a reaction and an action, a decision. And you and I will rise or fall depending on how we handle that moment and many moments that we'll have throughout our life. And so this Christ, he can't be ignored or dismissed. You can't just say that's nice and not be confronted. The Holy Spirit will confront. He is the light that lights every man. You can't opt out of just saying, well, that's a nice thought. You know, God is positioning everyone in life, everyone, to a point to make a decision about the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving, just as He moved in your life, for you to make your decision. There are people around you that need to connect with God, much like this video that you saw. You know, we think the guy's what? He just can't connect it. There's many people that do not know anything about the story. And we are connecting points for people. And we can help, we are reconcilers. We can help bring people to Christ. And this concept, this reality that Simeon presents, that you will either rise or fall in your life, is revealed all through the Christmas story. And I'd like to talk about some of the people in the story and illustrate this. Certainly Joseph and Mary were presented with a rise or fall moment in the Christmas story. You know, we hear the Christmas story all the time, but you have to immerse yourself in it. Now, go back. For some of us, it's decades to when you fell in love. Go back. Come on, go back with me. That day you fell in love. I remember the first time I saw Bebo. I was, I don't know how old, 18 or 19, but I remember I was at Hampton Roads Baptist Church. I was upstairs, and I was at a window, and she got out of the car, and I saw her, and I said, "Behold." Something happened. A little flutter started happening. I had a girlfriend at that time. We had to get her off the scene, bring Bebo on the scene. And those are always interesting times. All of you have a story like this, similar. Something happens in your heart that, God, this is her. This is the one. Now, this is the days before cell phones, so as soon as I got home from work at NASA, I'd get on the phone and call Bebo. "How was your day?" "It was good. How was your day? What did you do? Who did you see?" They didn't flirt with you, did they? I don't have to, you know, I mean, you just, come on, you remember those days. Your heart is just up there. They, you know, you're just, emotions are all over the place. And then you reach the point, you know, is she the one? You know, and yeah, I'm going to ask her to marry me. And you get the ring and you get down on one knee and she says yes. And then you start planning this wedding and everything's going along. And Mary and Joseph had a similar thing. Now, in those days, it was different because when they were arranged marriages, you know, they were arranged from when you were little. And at some point, the man or the boy would say, "I want to marry you in a year," and they would be legally married, but they didn't come together intimately for a whole year. That's when, you know, Jesus, we are going to be married to Him, but right now we're in a betrothal period. We've had a legal ceremony where we've said yes to one another in marriage language. Hallelujah. And that's when He says, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you." That's what happened in the weddings of that day. The man would say, "I want to marry you. Let's get married on this date a year or so from now. Now, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you where I am, you can come and be with me." Hallelujah. And while this is going on, I guess he rings her up on the phone. "How was your day?" "Well, Joe, I had a really interesting day today." "Are you sitting down?" "I'm pregnant." "What?" "You're pregnant." "Well, how did this happen?" "The Holy Spirit." "You won't believe this, Joe." "No, you're right, I won't believe this." Their lives were interrupted. Their moment, their planning was interrupted by God. And they were now presented with being able to rise or fall. I mean, guys, what would you do? Really, what would you do You've got all this going on. Well, Joseph, he had three options. He could divorce her because they were legally married. He could have her stoned. He could put her away privately. Or he could marry her. And God appeared to Joseph in a dream. And he said in Matthew 1:24, Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. God spoke to him and said, you need to marry this girl. Because what has happened here is an immaculate conception. This is of the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to Joseph in dreams. God spoke to him in dreams, you need to marry this girl. He spoke to Joseph when Herod was after the Lord. He said, you need to flee to Egypt. After he went to Egypt, the Lord spoke to him in a dream and said, Herod is dead. You can take him back to Israel. And then Joseph heard that Herod's son, or Cleophas, was in the king now, and he was asking God about it, and God gave him a dream and said, take the baby into Nazareth so the scripture could be fulfilled that he would be a Nazarite. And so Joseph had a rise and fall moment, and he responded to the word of the Lord to marry her. Him being a just man was going to put her away privately. That was what his decision was. But then he thought on these things, it says. And one night, the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, this child is the Messiah. You need to do this. You need to marry this girl. And Mary, she's also having rise and fall moments. He says in Luke 1:31, when the Lord is speaking to her, he says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came and said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So she's there. Now these are probably 16, 17 year old teenagers. And God is asking a whole lot of them. Mary, you're with child. She says, how can this be? I don't know a man. No, you, in your womb, the Holy Spirit is going to do something. And this girl, you know, she was afraid. She did have questions. She did have reservation because she didn't know a man. So she just asked a question, how can this be? And the Lord responded and told her how it was. And in that very moment, Mary was going to rise or fall. Now, did she have options? I mean, the whole, you know, it was there. But here's what I like about Mary in Luke 1:38. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. No arguing, no fussing, but total willingness. I mean, that is amazing. How would you have handled it? So she said, yes, let it be. And then she had some questions. Now, tell me more. And that's when the Lord appeared to her and says, well, you know Elizabeth. Elizabeth is also pregnant. And her child is going to be the forerunner. And you need to go see Elizabeth. And, you know, she had questions. But before she questioned things, only other than to say, how can this be? I don't know a man. The Lord said, it's of the Holy Spirit. She said, okay, I'm in. I mean, that is amazing. I'm not sure very many people would have responded that way. So these two, this couple, this young couple, they had an opportunity to rise or to fall. And they rose. As a couple, they faced things that no other couples face. The social stigma. So when Joseph said, yes, I'll marry her, the implication in most people's minds are, you guys have misbehaved before you should have. Now, that's not really a big deal in this time and age in our society, but it was then. So there was a stigma that was put on them. They were misunderstood. But as a couple, they worked together. They worked through it. Hallelujah. And we see, you know, them working together there to bring forth the Lord. Doing the two-day donkey ride as Joseph led the donkey and Mary sitting on there 9 months pregnant and no hospital around, no doctors, no epidurals, no place to stay. And while Mary delivered the baby, Joseph delivered a feeding trough. And I could just, you know, your young bride is going through this and there's the baby and you don't have a place. You're in this barn and, you know, like a guy, what are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do here? Well, here's a feeding trough. The pigs feed in there. Let me see if I can clean that up. We'll put something in here. Here. And now it's on Christmas cards. It's on screens. It's everywhere. And while Mary nurtured, Joseph protected. And he kept getting those dreams from God. Hallelujah. So we see those two rise. And we see shepherds. Shepherds, they're like the ultimate blue-collar guys. Their work, they're like modern-day truckers in a way. Their work prevented them from going to the feast days and the holy days. I mean, they had 24/7 type of jobs. They were definitely shift workers that worked the graveyard shift. And, I mean, their jobs were just something. I mean, they were probably some of the least educated people. They, you know, if you read about them, they were blue collar. They didn't have really good manners. Their language was such and such, and they smelled being around all these sheep all the time, and you know what sheep do, and you're around them, and I mean, it's got all kinds of action going on. And we don't know their names. But somehow God said, I'm going to announce the birth of my child, and I want these guys to hear the announcement. They're going to be the first ones. I find that pretty cool. So they're there one night tending their sheep like they had always done, and God interrupted their routines. An angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and what? They were afraid. We've talked about this, about the presence of God, you know, a holy fear, the fear of God. And it seems like whenever anyone is in the presence of God like that, there is a fear that comes on them. And he said, don't be afraid. I give you good tidings of great joy. And so they have this encounter with this baby, this announcement, and they have a chance to rise or fall. And so what did these guys do? Luke 2:15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So we have these guys interrupted in their normal routine. And let me repeat some phrases in this passage. They said, let us now go. Let us now go. No hesitation. And they came with haste. They made it widely known what they had seen. And it says, if we'd have kept reading, it says, those who heard it marveled at what they said. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. So here you are one evening and you have this experience, and it says the shepherds, there were shepherds. So I don't know how this works, but I have the idea that it was like one shepherd with all these sheep, and over in another field is another shepherd with all of his sheep, and all of a sudden this heavenly host appears. I mean, can you visualize this? I don't know if it took place over acres and acres and acres, or if he got all the shepherds together and told them this, but somehow they all got together and said, let's go now. Let's go. And they hurriedly moved, and they made it widely known. And so they had this chance to rise and fall. Has God revealed himself to you? Has God spoken to you anything? And how have you responded? Have you said yes, like Mary and Joseph did? Maybe you have some questions, but it was yes, I'll do it. The shepherd said, let's go now. Let's don't wait. The Magi, these kings were given a chance to rise and fall. The Magi, Magi comes from really the book of Daniel, where the Hebrew children were brought in, and Daniel 2, you know, when Daniel, the king, is asking questions about what's going on, Daniel says, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can tell the king such things, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And so you get a link to the Magi from 600 years before the Magi in the Christmas story. And so Magi, I love this part of the Christmas story. Magi, these are Gentiles. These are unchurched people. How does God get the attention of unholy people? He uses unholy interest to attract them. Magicians, magi, astrology, fortune teller, they're stargazers. And there's a star up there. And somehow, their interest gets piqued. We got to go see where this star is. You know, I like to think of this in this way. God uses unholy things to attract people to him. He uses unholy things like softball. Years ago, I used to coach a softball team. Mark Copper was the first baseman on that. Remember that, Mark? That's years ago. Greg wasn't, I don't even know if he was saved at that time, but he really wasn't following the Lord closely, but he loved softball. And now where is he? He's sitting right here. We became connected through an unholy interest of softball. And God uses things like hobbies, the fitness center. I know some of y'all are using the silver sneakers? Is that what it's called? To use the YMCA? You go there and your insurance that you pay for allows you to have a membership at the YMCA. There are other people at the YMCA that don't know God. But they're at the fitness center because you're at the fitness center for the same reason. I'm trying to stay fit in my waning years. You know, God can use you to connect people that you don't even know, but you have a similar interest in. I remember it could be cars, classic cars. You know, these guys that get these old cars and fix them up, and then they show them, and they're you know, these different people from different phases of life and economic interest and income, but they have this common interest of classic cars. You know, God can use you with your classic car to connect people to Christ. If you're a woodworker or you're a beekeeper or whatever it might be, don't ever underestimate how God can use what you're doing. My wife is right now going through physical therapy for her knee replacement, and we've had physical therapists in our home, an occupational therapist, and now she's going out, and she's seeing people she doesn't normally see. You know, God can use you in those moments. So God used a star to attract people to a place. And when they got to the place, they knocked on the Herod's door and they said, "This star up here, do you know anything about this star? We've been told there's a king of the Jews," and Herod turns. "Scribes, you know anything about this?" "Yep. Bethlehem. Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem." He used their unholy interest to get them to a place and then used the scripture to get them to Jesus. God can use unholy things and then you can use the scripture to get them to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so these kings, their hearts are revealed, just like Simeon prophesied. Behold, the rise and fall of many, and the hearts of people would be revealed. It happens to parents. This principle of rising and falling and what will you do with Jesus happens to parents, to kings, to shepherds, if you're in authority, if you're under authority. And, you know, I think it's interesting that when Herod turned to the scribes, I like to, you know, having some NASA blood in me, the government is into acronyms. I like to think of them as Herod's OOBS, OOBS, Office of Biblical Scholars. "Hey guys, what do you know about this?" "Oh, we know. Bethlehem. Maybe, you know, no requirement of us. We're just low-level office workers. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Do you know that Bible knowledge does not equal transformation power? They knew the scriptures, but they could not walk the 5 or 6 miles to go see the birth of the child. And three kings, Gentile, unholy kings, came thousands of miles to see this child. The rise and fall, their hearts were revealed. "Boy, I know the scriptures. I know right where he is. He's in Bethlehem." Now, you got any? Oh, it's break time. You have shepherds that said, "Let's go now." And you got scribes that said, "Yep, Bethlehem." They fell. The Bible should fuel transformation and action in our lives, not just increase in knowledge. Are you tracking with me this morning? No one is immune from the effects of this child. Simeon, he certainly rose. He was there. He heard the Holy Spirit say, "This day, this moment, a young couple arises, shepherds arise, three kings rise, one king falls, the scribes fall." We could also talk about Anna and Zacharias and Elizabeth. But the rise and fall moments are different for each person. For these parents, it's a challenge. It's an extreme challenge. The Lord requires of them to be put in a place where they'll be misunderstood, where their reputations would be shot. And even for Mary, in the middle of all of this engagement and birth of this child, the new excitement of a new baby, Simeon says, "A sword will pierce your heart, Mary." Well, that's not easy. God's asking a whole lot of them. But they rose. Hallelujah. For the shepherds, it said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." They had a moment. There's a sign for you. It's up to you whether you respond. But they inquired. Sometimes the Holy Spirit puts you in a place where he just nudges you, and it's up to you to respond. There's a nudge from the Holy Spirit. You can say, "Oh, it's break time." Or you can be a shepherd and says, "Let us go now. Let's go. Let's do this." This happens not just at salvation, but all through our walk with the Lord. I think it's really important to recognize your rise or fall moment. And when God nudges you, it's only natural to consider how it will impact you personally. When God asks you to do something or nudges you or prompts you, most of us, our first thought is, how will this affect me? What is the Lord asking of me? But let me tell you, usually when God is nudging you to do something, it does affect you, but it affects many around you that you don't realize. It's challenging to feel the nudge of the Spirit, this rise and fall moment when God says, I want you to give a substantial gift to someone or some organization. I want you to volunteer your time. I want you to invite someone to church. I want you to give them a ride. And we can hear that little prompting, that little nudge, and it's a rise or fall moment. Because it will affect you. It'll affect your lifestyle. It'll affect your flexibility. It could affect your finances, your time, your energy. But those moments are very important. I will suggest that many of us, when we're nudged, like you might see this person come to your mind and you might think, I really would like to invite them to church, but I know I'll have to give them a ride. And if I give them a ride, I got to get up early and I'll get home later. And this lady, what if they go to the altar? I mean, they got so much wrong with them. There's so much drama in their lives. I don't know if I want to get involved. I'm meddling now, ain't I? It's true, though. People are messed up. People are lost, just like she shared her situation. To get involved in her life at that point in time, I imagine it was a mess. Well, let me tell you, you were a mess and I was a mess. You see, this child, this infant, reveals the heart. The magi, they rise out of curiosity and a sense of adventure, and their lives are totally changed. Herod, he falls because of his pride and his insecurities. And the scribes, they're the most disappointing of the whole bunch. They fall because we just know the Bible. We don't have any passion for it. But boy, we sure do know it. But in this story, as God, you know, says that the hearts of many will be revealed, the biggest heart revealed is God's heart. The God that reaches out to all people, to young people, young couple, to old people, Anna and Simeon, to blue-collar workers that stink and don't talk nice, to rich, majestic kings. I mean, this story just, it covers every extreme. To people who know the scriptures, the opportunity is given, go see the child. To the lost, the magi. I mean, it's everywhere. And I've said all this to get us to this moment. Simeon's 2,000-year-old word is still relevant today. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many. And I believe that we all face, you may be facing it right now, or you may have already faced it, or you might face it in the future, you're going to have a rise or fall moment. You're going to have a moment where God says, I want you to do this. It's up to you how you respond. But let me say, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, use this season to connect someone with Christ. Use the moment that this season provides us to give a ride, to visit someone, to use your phone to call somebody, to give a gift. We have many examples from the scriptures. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the scribes and the kings and all that. But how does it affect you? Hallelujah. Bow your head. If you believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you at this moment, maybe you've gotten a little hard or whatever, and you're just saying, Lord, you have been so good to me, and I do want to be open. Lord, speak to me, nudge me. If you'd just like to just acknowledge the Lord in that way, that you're available, just lift your hand. Yes. That right there was a rise or fall moment. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for these people right here. I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken, you have touched, you have reached them in their lowest moment, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will use them to reach out to the lost and to the hurting around them, to be able to be a connection, Lord, from what this season is about to what it really means. Lord, it's lost in so many other things that are happening at this time. Lord, that it is definitely lost. But Lord, help us as modern day scribes that know the scripture to be able to connect people and to have passion in our hearts, Lord, to never let that flame go out, to serve, to reach out, to love, to get involved with people. And Lord, I thank you for these people here, and I pray that you would bless them as they go this week. Lord, I pray right now specifically, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give you an opportunity this week to make a connection with someone. It may be at the YMCA. It may be at a fitness center. It may be at a car club, wherever. Lord, I pray that this routine of life would be interrupted by a nudge of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would respond with a yes, just like Mary did. We might have some questions about it, but Lord, you ask us, so we say yes. Now, how do I make it happen? So Lord, I pray that kind of faith would rise up in each heart here in Jesus' name. And I bless these people as they go this week. May they be a light. May they be a voice of kindness and direction to those around them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a good week. And if you need prayer, come on up.